And people can be watching our broadcast without being on there, right?
You're live.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It is 12:05 p.m. on Thursday, April 5th, 2018. This is a public input session on case number PU-17-398, Otter Tail Power Electric Rate Increase. I'm Randy Christman, Chairman of the Public Service Commission. With me today is Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. And calling in and monitoring from out on the road is Commissioner Brian Crosius. Commissioner Crosius, do you have any opening comments? This is your portfolio.
I'd just like to welcome everyone who's on the call here this afternoon. I guess we just turned the corner on noon, so good afternoon. And this is something new, trying to find yet another avenue to increase accessibility and give the public a different way of communicating with us on this instance, the rate case. Would appreciate hearing any comments that the public does have. They're very important. That information helps quite a bit in these cases, and just trying to understand every aspect of how the public and businesses alike, what their concerns or questions might be related to the rate case. So it is a good thing to try, I think, and we'll see how this goes. I'm sure we'll learn from it and continue to explore how can we be as accessible as possible to the public.
Thank you. Commissioner Fedorchak.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you, Commissioner Christman and Crosius. Yeah, I would say this is a great opportunity for us to hear from the public. That's the whole point of these public input sessions. We'll be hearing from the company here shortly about what their request is and the justification for it. And the point of our public input sessions is to hear from the public on any issues or concerns or questions that they have regarding this proposed rate increase. So for those who are participating, thank you for taking time to be here. We value your input and look forward to a good discussion this afternoon.
Thank you both. And just to explain a little bit more, the public input session is not a part of the official record, but it is, as you've described it, just an opportunity for the public to give us feedback. We will actually have hearings on this case, and those are scheduled for July 11th through the 13th. There are some interveners already, Walmart Company, and as well as a group called Midwest Large Energy Consumers are interveners. For people who are listening and aren't familiar with rate cases, they're a big and complex thing, and when we start a rate case, we divide our staff up, and some people become advocacy staff who are experts and professionals in these things, and at that point, they no longer deal with us personally, only when the company is available, and at that point, they are advocacy staff, as the title implies, advocating for the consumers. In this particular case, our advocacy staff people are Victor Shook and Jack Hsu, and Victor Shook is sitting with us here today. And the way we have traditionally done this is through the state's IVIN network, and we did one of those on Tuesday evening and had people able to attend at various either high schools or colleges around the state that have that available. And we decided to try this new method to enhance the convenience of the public to comment. This case started, the company was seeking, I believe it was $13.1 million. By law, we granted them the interim increase, although it was slightly less at $12.8 million, effective January 1st of 2018. But when we ultimately end up finalizing a rate case, if it does turn out to be for a lesser amount than what the interim increase was, the difference would be reimbursed. And in the meantime, because of the federal tax decrease, that interim rate was decreased significantly from $12.8 million to $8.3 million. The first thing we're going to do is hear from the company, and they're going to lay out the proposal so that people can respond to what they're actually proposing. And because this is new, I'll just go through it. This is called GoToMeeting, so you can log on from a computer or tablet or smartphone. And the address to log on is global.gotomeeting.com/join/775-538-741. That, by the way, is on our website at psc.nd.gov, if you didn't keep up with that. Although you wouldn't necessarily be able to see the interaction, you can also dial in from a phone. The phone number for that is 877-309-2073, and the access code is 775-538-741. Again, all that contact information is on our website at psc.nd.gov. With that, I will turn it over to the company.
Thank you, commissioners, and thanks everyone for joining us today for this input session. My name is Matt Olson. I'm in the regulatory department at Otter Tail Power Company, and I will walk through a brief presentation and then be available for some questions to follow. I'll touch on today a little bit about Otter Tail Power Company, who we are, and then examine a little bit of our request and some of the main drivers leading to that request. And I'll follow that with certainly an important change that has happened in the meantime since we filed this case originally on the 2nd of November, which is the tax reform, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, as well as a couple other developments in our case that have been adjusted. And then I'll also touch on the schedule for what remains of this proceeding. So first off, who we are as Otter Tail Power Company. Certainly our customers have some interaction with us, but an element of going through a rate review is a look to what our whole company is and is doing. And as Otter Tail Power Company, we have a service territory that spans 70,000 square miles across eastern North Dakota, western half of Minnesota, and a chunk of South Dakota as well. And within that territory, Otter Tail serves a very small rural communities. We serve 422 communities in total, 224 of those in North Dakota. An average population in those towns is only 400 people. And as a company, we have a total of 132, a little less than that, 1,000 customers. We have 800 megawatts or so of generation of various types, and we have 5,800 miles of transmission lines that connect our system both within that area and then to the system beyond that. So I mentioned our small town size, but I want to highlight that this really makes us unique. Otter Tail as a total is the second smallest investor-owned utility in the country, and our unique town size is another aspect of what makes us unique, which is that in North Dakota, 93% of the towns we serve have less than 1,000 people in them, and perhaps many of them would be substantially less than that. Only 6% have between 1,000 and 5,000 people, and only 1% have more than 5,000 people. And certainly, because of the demographics and the area that we serve, we operate our company probably a little bit differently than some other utilities might. But we hope we're doing the right thing, and our customers are indicating that we are providing the right kind of service for what they need. And Otter Tail has had historically very, very high levels of customer satisfaction. A variety of surveys have indicated this, and most recently here, a J.D. Power survey from last year ranked Otter Tail Power Company as amongst the top three, the third highest in the Midwest mid-sized region for customer satisfaction. And that survey based that on six factors, and those are listed here on the slide: power quality and reliability, price, billing and payment, corporate citizenship, communications, and customer service. And certainly as we examine those factors and get individual scores amongst those different areas, we're able to consider how we can continue to improve our service and better serve the customers in our area. So with that overview of our company, I'll touch on a little bit about our requests that we're looking at right now. There are really three drivers for the rate review that we're looking at in this proceeding. The first one being stronger and cleaner infrastructure. Otter Tail has made many investments in both our plants, generation fleet that is, and also in our transmission and distribution wires and lines, all the things we need to provide service to our customers. In particular, we've made significant investments at our plants and the Big Stone plant in particular, where we had the installation of the air quality control system, one of the largest projects Otter Tail Power Company has ever taken on, and that was in response to federally mandated emissions regulations, but that project was very successful. It was completed on time and under budget, and will allow that plant to keep operating well into the future. We've also made substantial investments in our transmission that will strengthen our service to our customers, hopefully improving reliability, as well as providing an outlet for the generation that is coming from North Dakota and allowing access to other areas where it can be used. The next key driver for this rate review is smarter technologies. And in this category, I really want to highlight that Otter Tail has operated and served our customers with a home-built customer information system for about 30 years. And that has served us very well. It's certainly saved our customers a lot of money by keeping that system running. But the system is coming to the end of its life, and as we look forward to technologies that we might be integrating in the future to provide better information and more real-time access to our customers, we are right now in the process of installing a new customer information system to enhance what we can provide to our customers. The third category of drivers for this rate review is rising costs. We've not filed a general rate increase in North Dakota for about 10 years now. And in that amount of time, various costs have gone up. I'll note that in the investments in our plant and wires, as I previously mentioned, the total investment for our company has doubled in the time since our last general rate case. And there are riders that allow us to recover project-specific costs in that time that have helped us avoid having to file a general rate review as we're in now. But there's other costs that are not eligible to be recovered through those riders, and those are, after a while, building up and are what are contributing to the need for this rate increase. I want to touch on then sort of what is right now the expected or proposed impact that our customers might experience. And for an average customer using average usage in the residential class, a customer could expect an increase of about $7.19. Again, with average usage, that would be. A customer in the farm class could experience $16.53. And in the business class, $13.74 increase. And usage below or above that average amount would, of course, change the amount of impact. I mentioned a minute ago that we have been able to use riders to avoid filing a rate case now for 10 years. And what we're doing mechanically in this rate case is moving the cost, the project costs that have been collected in those riders from where they show up on the customer's bill in those riders to the base rate portion of the bill. To our customers, in dollars terms, that won't make any difference. It's only a matter of what portion of the bill that recovery occurs. So they could expect that the base portion of the per kilowatt hour charge in their bill would go up purely as a result of this mechanical move, and the rider portion would go down. I want to note for the transmission rider that there are some costs that are related to our market expenses that routinely fluctuate, and to avoid setting that price or that cost at an amount that would later fluctuate and perhaps drive a general rate increase like we're talking about here, we're actually proposing to keep those costs in the rider, in the transmission rider, to allow that cost to be trued up every year as that is reviewed annually. The fourth on that list is the generation rider, and this is a rider that Otter Tail has not had historically, and we are requesting it be created here, but we're not asking for any costs yet to be included there. It is really a look forward in the investments that Otter Tail will be making in generation and creating a placeholder that will allow us to have that recovery occur without the need for a general rate review. So that's a mechanical thing that we're accomplishing in this case here. I want to now touch on some of the updates to our request. Again, we filed our request originally on the 2nd of November, and some things have occurred in the meantime. Most notably is the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The biggest portion of that would be to reduce the corporate tax rate from 35% down to 21%. And those taxes normally are, or they are built into our rates. And the impact here is that as that rate has gone down, the need to collect those taxes in rates also goes down. And as a result of that, we've revised our request. We've reduced our need from $13.1 million down to $7.1 million, and that's a total of $6 million. $4.8 of that is specifically related to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The other remaining portion is related to elements of our case that have also been updated since our original filing. When we filed originally in November, this is a forecast test year looking ahead to the budgeted expenses for the year of 2018. We knew at that time there would be some costs that would become more certain early in the year, and so we used the best available information at the time of the filing, and then as new information has come, those costs have become more certain. We've now included those updates in our revised request. So on the 23rd of March, when we filed our supplemental filing, it included both the impact of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and those revised budget amounts. Something also very important that has happened in that time frame is that we had interim rates as we mentioned, went into effect on the 1st of January. We also reduced our interim rate request as of the 1st of March to incorporate the reduction related to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So that has allowed us as a company to have our customers realize that benefit right away, as opposed to waiting until the end of the case. And I think every utility in the country is grappling with how to accomplish this, getting these impacts to their customers. This has been a positive thing for Otter Tail here to be able to allow customers to receive that benefit right away. I did mention earlier the impacts that we are expecting to our customers, and I just want to show here how the impact has changed from our original filing. When we originally filed back in November, the impact to residential customers, again, of average usage, was expected to be $11.63 and now we're talking at about $7.19, and from $26.75 for farm customers down to $16.53, and for business customers from $22.23 down to $13.74. I finally want to touch here on the elements of the case going forward. About a month from today, or a few weeks from today, will be the intervention deadline, and that is the date by which customers or interveners need to decide that they want to be a full participant in the case. A month after that will be the deadline for the first round of testimony from interveners who will be able to offer their testimony related to the elements of what we requested here. On the 22nd of June will be rebuttal testimony, so an opportunity for each of the parties to respond to the positions taken by other parties. Same thing will happen again, another round of that on the 3rd of July. And then the hearing in this case is set for July 11th through the 13th. Beyond that, the commission will make a decision at some point, and we are expecting our final rates to go into effect sometime later this fall. That is the extent of my prepared remarks, and if there's questions, I can respond to them here.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Matt. And now we're ready to get into the public input, in fact. And I do want to point out, though, to people who are watching or listening, you won't hear a lot of questions from the commissioners. I'll speak for myself. I guess this is part of what I do to formulate questions for when we actually have the hearing, and that's when I'll do most of my participating and asking questions. What you've just heard is Matt kind of summarizing what amounts to about 8 or 10 big binders that are taking up shelf space in my office. So these are highly complex cases. Victor Shook, our lead person on advocacy staff, will now just explain, because some of you may not be too familiar with the GoToMeeting or the call-in, and he'll explain how to kind of electronically raise your hand so that we can call on you and take comments in an orderly fashion, and it is really comments more so than questions that we're seeking. Go ahead, Victor.
Certainly. So the instructions, if you can see, are in probably really small print on the top of your screen. If you are only dialed into the meeting on your phone and want to raise your hand to say something, you're probably muted right now, but if you press *9, you'll kind of show up on our system. We can unmute you and you can ask a question. If you are signed into the GoToMeeting and you have a question, you can go to the little chat window. It looks like a little circle with a arrow coming out of the lower right-hand side of it, and you can send a message to myself, and I'll say it out loud here. And then another option, if you just don't want to do either of those, you can send me an email. My email address is at the bottom of the screen there. It is vschock@nd.gov.
Okay, somebody kick it off.
There's no one out there.
Really?
There may be. But there. So there could be people watching on our broadcast that aren't signed into any of this stuff. Because we're broadcasting on our page because you can't do any interaction. But from what it looks like here, we have company people and us. I don't think there are any people.
Okay, I just had a little dialogue with Victor here, and so Brian, I guess for your information, as well as Matt, there's not a lot of public people on the GoToMeeting page or on that have called in. And so I think in fairness, though, we'll just kind of go on pause here for a few minutes and let Victor monitor that and see once, at least for another 5 minutes, and just wait to see if somebody signs in and give everyone a fair opportunity.
Yep.
So we'll just kind of stand in recess here, but be prepared to come out of recess if we get a question.
Just one follow-up. So if anyone really, none of this is working or you're not comfortable doing this right now, you can always send me an email later on today, tomorrow, for the next couple of months. If you have a question or comment you want us to be aware of, you can send it directly to me, and I will ensure it's handled.
That is a very good point. Again, it's vshuck, V as in Victor, S-C-H-O-C-K, at nd.gov, or they can also call our office number, which is 328-2400, and ask for Victor. But we keep him busy a lot of the time, so he may not be able to answer immediately, but you can leave messages or something like that.
Absolutely. Okay, we got a question. Michael Donahue, customer bill impacts included in the rate review public input sessions pamphlet. Give this example. Controlled service interruptible, 1,977 kilowatts, 84.38 would be the previous bill, $11.56 proposed increase to bill. What would that increase be at the 4.8% rate increase requested? So, Matt, are you able to have someone kind of calculate that difference?
I would say we probably can't calculate that on the spot, but we could certainly circle back to Mr. Donahue. Is the, Victor, the question for the residential class, or did, you said for?
It says for controlled service interruptible. And actually, maybe this makes more sense. So it says 1977 kW. I was initially thinking that he meant to say kilowatt hours, but if it's controlled service interruptible, that's probably the demand kW.
So I probably would say that the impact is likely similar. If you looked at the slide that showed the residential impact, it's something similar to that. So if I scroll up.
So I think that was like $11.56 to like $6, $7, is it?
Right.
7.19.
I would say the impact is something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Matt, you're saying that it's somewhat close to that.
Okay. And Michael just confirmed, so he said that the 1977 is kilowatt usage, monthly kilowatt hour usage. So yes, Michael, I think that would be roughly correct. Looking at if the original impact was going to be about $11.56 to you, it's probably going to be closer to that $7.19 range. And if you want to get more specific with it and have the company or give you a little bit better definition, if you give me your email address and a little bit more specifics, you don't have to do it through the chat. If you don't want to, you can call or email me later. We can get that to the company and they can give you an exact calculation.
Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Michael.
Again, if someone is just dialing in or logging on, we have had the commissioners talk a little bit and the company do their kind of lay out a very brief summary of the case. And right now we are without any new comments. And so if someone is just coming on, this is certainly an opportunity for you to comment. You'd be at the front of the queue if you let us know now. I guess if we were radio people, we wouldn't want to have dead air time here, would we? So, Steve, you want to sing us something?
No. Neither do you.
We'll hold on probably just a couple more minutes, Matt, and see if anyone else comes aboard.
Very good. Anything showing up, Victor?
No, we are getting nothing else, no other comments or requests to come off of mute. I've got no emails.
Commissioner Fedorchak, do you feel we've given adequate time? Would you be all right with closing this out?
I do. I think we advertised a noon time frame and didn't indicate how long it would go, so folks who wanted to or had something to say or wanted to listen would likely call in at noon or thereabouts.
And Commissioner Crashes, it's really your call, and I guess I didn't emphasize this enough at the beginning, but this is Commissioner Crashes' portfolio, and I'm just kind of trying to fill in as chairman and lead for him since you're on the road today doing other work on our behalf. But it's kind of your call if you want us to wait longer or wrap this up. So I'll turn it to you, Commissioner.
No, I agree with Julie's comments. I think we can wrap it up, and we'll look at this in terms of, we'll have some good takeaways, and then we'll also have the opportunity to review the process and look how we can streamline it in the future. And again, we're really attempting to make every effort to give people a new avenue in which to communicate with us, which they can still do with the contact information that Victor provided, I believe, at the beginning of the call. So, no, I am good with wrapping it up. For those listening, thank you for joining us today. Really do appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. And Matt, was there anything else that you needed to add?
No, nothing further. Thanks, Commission, and everyone for being involved here.
Okay, thank you, everyone. And we will close out this public input session on the Otter Tail Power rate increase case. Thank you.